Let's talk about these Eagles fans. I know some of you drove all the way from Philly here. And listen, I have a good understanding that you don't have money just to waste. So that means that you've been hard-earned money that you could be saving to come out here and celebrate with your boy.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What's going on? It's Lou DiBiase in studio. Today is Saturday, August 4th, a late night edition of the podcast because Brian Dawkins, Weapon X, just finished up his speech at the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement, as he will forever be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and it was an amazing celebration of one of the greatest Philadelphia Eagles of all time, and that's what we're going to be talking about today on the show. We're going to get into Dawkins' speech, his career with the Philadelphia Eagles, because I feel like it's owed that we do a special podcast just for this weekend's celebration. And we're also going to get into, later on in the show, the Hall of Fame game helmet rule fiasco. It was something that I think the NFL got off to a rough start in with the new helmet rule that you cannot lower the shoulder, or excuse me, you cannot lower the head. So we're going to get into that as well later on in the show as we continue to recap Hall of Fame weekend right here on Locked On Eagles and the Locked On Sports Network. I've never been more proud to be an Eagles fan, honestly. You know, even February 4th, 2017, when we won the Super Bowl title and I was in Philadelphia, that was probably the greatest moment of my life as an Eagles fan, but today was another moment where I just take a step back and be like, I am so glad that I can be a part of this fan base, this team, this community, because it is the greatest in the NFL. It is so passionate. It is so heart-driven. They just care so much about this Philadelphia Eagles team. So fans that are out there listening, just, you guys make it all happen. You guys make it work, and no one deserved that Super Bowl trophy more than you guys. And Brian Dawkins really, basically, I always said that Nelson Agholor kind of, you know, he represented that 2017 team, what it's all about. Really, Brian Dawkins kind of represents the Philadelphia Eagles, what it takes to be an Eagle. To me, he represents the entire organization. Like, when you think of one player, honestly, it's not Donovan McNabb. It's not Randall Cunningham or Reggie White. It's not Carson Wentz. You know, it's not Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, any of the greats. Seth Joyner, Chuck Bednarik, Ron Jaworski. Not the any of the head coaches. It's Brian Dawkins. And, man, like Dawkins said, driving from Philly, fans coming all the way out from Philly to Ohio just to see him inducted, that you heard that before, it just gets you so fired up. It's so special. They outnumbered almost any other NFL fan base there at the Hall of Fame today, and they took over like Eagles fans always do. They didn't just take over in the Hall of Fame enshrinement this year, but they also took over in LA against the Chargers last year. In LA, it was basically a home game for the Eagles. The fan base is one of the best. It's the best in the NFL, and I'm not just saying that because I'm an Eagles fan. I think they get a bad rap, and I'll say we, because I'm involved in this fan base. I am an Eagles fan, diehard, through and through. I think we get a bad rap for who we really are as a fan base, and we are loyal and passionate. I think today should have, maybe for the national media and for other fans, I know they like to throw the dig, the stereotype, and maybe they're not serious all the time, but I think today people should really recognize the Eagles coming out and supporting Brian Dawkins and being like, this fan base gets it. And they appreciate their team and the players. Because you know what? Brian Dawkins never ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Eagles. And they still love him dearly, you know? He was with the teams that could just never get it done. But it doesn't matter to them. They love the player and the person. You know, people were buried in Brian Dawkins' jersey. He even talked about that, I think it was, you know, a year ago, when talking about his bond with Eagles fans, that someone was buried in his jersey. It's a truly special bond between Brian Dawkins and Eagles fans. I've never seen anything like it in sports. And it's just so cool that they came all the way out to celebrate with Dawkins at the ceremony. I wish I could get down there to see it, but I'm actually going to be in Philadelphia this week covering training camp. So an amazing event tonight for Eagles fans, and it just continues what was an historic year for the organization. Not, of course, obviously winning the Super Bowl, but to have Brian Dawkins go into the Hall of Fame, the new era. Really, he's the first wave of that new Eagles era, the Midnight Green era. Getting him into the Hall of Fame was something truly special. And how about this? How about Eagles fans booing Jerry Jones? How amazing was that? You know, after all the stuff he's been involved in lately, some of the anthem statements he's talked about that I just do not agree with, sticking with Papa John's after their racist comment, you know, he deserved every bit of those jeers that he got today. And it's another reason I'm just so proud to be an Eagles fan, because Jerry Jones really has been just a stick in the NFL side so far this summer, and basically always, but just this year especially, he has just gotten on my nerves, especially for some of his viewpoints and some of the, just the stuff that he's been involved with is pretty disgusting if you ask me, and I'm glad Eagles fans gave it to him today at the Hall of Fame. How about Dawkins crawling out too? And also, shame on Bleacher Report, what are you guys doing? Crawling out like a tiger? They suggested on their update on your phone that Brian Dawkins crawled out as if he was some sort of tiger. That's the Weapon X intro. That's what Brian Dawkins did for over a decade coming out of the tunnel. It's a Wolverine, thank you. It's not a tiger that's coming out of the tunnel. And that was just such another cool part of it, because the Hall of Fame, the enshrinements sometimes can get a little boring, they can get a little stale. A lot of the older players that fans don't know about, it's tough to sit through those speeches, although I do appreciate them and I appreciate the history of the sport. The Hall of Fame is also something I've taken less and less seriously over the years, but having Brian Dawkins there, getting to celebrate that with one of the greatest Eagles, seeing him come out to that intro also just made it even more exciting. It was one of the coolest parts. It just shows that, you know, not even, I know the Eagles, they adore Carson Wentz. I've never seen a player that they will defend to the death more than Carson Wentz or Nick Foles, who just won the Eagles their first ever Super Bowl title. But no one will top the Eagles' love for Brian Dawkins, for the fans at least. He is the all-time favorite Eagles player in franchise history. Let me know if you disagree with that. Drop me a line at DiBiaseLOE, but I don't think anybody's going to, because I think it's clear. Brian Dawkins is the most liked, the most beloved Eagle of all time. I know there's popular ones, although Donovan McNabb really never fully, I don't want to say he wasn't never fully embraced by Eagles fans, but he was never beloved like Carson Wentz is with the Eagles. Reggie White was never had the bond that Dawkins had. I don't think any player ever did. Dawkins, to me, is the most liked Eagle of all time. He is the fan favorite pretty much of everybody that grew up in the era of watching him. He was Mr. Eagle. He signified what it meant to be on the team, the pride of being an Eagle, how he played basically is exactly the kind of player Philly fans would describe that they want in a player. The passion on and off the field. He is literally, if the city of Philadelphia, if the fans were building a player, it would be Brian Dawkins. The black visor also helped because it made him look tough as hell. And playing the safety position back then as well is something that back then for his style, the hard-hitting, aggressive mentality was so entertaining to watch. And he was an amazing leader. I mean, I would go back and watch the videos of him giving pump-up speeches in the huddle before playoff games. I remember the speech against the Minnesota Vikings in the wild card round in 2008. It's just, and that stuck with me because I'm a younger Eagle fan, so I never really fully got to appreciate Brian Dawkins. I wish I was old enough to really witness him in his prime, you know, the late 90s throughout the early 2000s. That's really when Brian Dawkins became one of the best safeties in NFL history. I saw him more on the back end, and, you know, I started becoming an Eagles fan when I was about 4 or 5. It was around the, 2000? It was a little bit after the Super Bowl, so around the year Jeff Garcia took over for the Eagles. So it was 2006, so I was actually about 8 years old when I really started watching Dawkins. And he was kind of coming on the tail end of his prime. I know he made the Pro Bowl, I think, two out of three times with the Denver Broncos, and he was still a really good player with the Eagles. He was still a leader of the team. But, you know, the early 2000s is when he absolutely took over the NFL on the defensive side. So it really does suck that I didn't get to witness him. I am a younger Eagles fan. I'm 21 years old. So it's tougher for me to really appreciate. I mean, I appreciate how other Eagles fans appreciate him. But for myself, I don't have a lot of fond memories of him because he was kind of in the era that was coming to an end when I really started getting a full grasp of the sport and started growing a passion for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was kind of on the last few years of his contract, and then unfortunately the Eagles could never get it done with him to try to keep him for the rest of his career, which does kind of suck that he did go to the Denver Broncos. But nonetheless, he was just, again, Ray Lewis is known for being one of the best leaders of all time in the NFL with his corny speeches that a lot of the time most people don't understand. But Brian Dawkins was the pinnacle of what it takes to be a leader. He was a true leader, someone that when you just listen to get fired up, you know it's genuine and passionate and inspiring. So congratulations to Brian Dawkins to making the Hall of Fame. The only player in Eagles history to have a sack, a fumble recovery, an interception, and a receiving touchdown in a single game against the Houston Texans. That's pretty incredible feat as well, him taking over games like that. He was truly special. You know, I know around the same time as Dawkins was in his prime, so was Troy Polamalu, so was Ed Reed. And so sometimes maybe he goes under the radar a little bit, but Brian Dawkins is right there with them, if not better than those two. He is one of the greatest safeties of all time and one of the toughest defensive players in NFL history. And thank God the Eagles got him a Super Bowl. I know he wasn't playing with the team, but he was a part of the team. He was with the front office. He was helping players. You know those pump-up videos before the playoffs this year with Brian Dawkins? You know, he got to be on the sidelines. You saw the emotion running down his face when the Eagles won that trophy because it meant so much to him that they were able to finish the job for him. Because, man, 5 NFC Championship games, 1 Super Bowl appearance, they lost to the Patriots in 2004. They were never able to get it done with Dawkins as a player. You know, they came so close, they were knocking on the door all the time, and he just never could complete it. And I think it stung even worse. For me, the 2008 NFC Championship game was tough because that almost seemed like it was the last shot that era of Philadelphia Eagles football had at winning a title, you know, the McNabb, Reed, Dawkins era. And it stung for me when he went to Denver, because then you feel so bad. It's like they never got it done. They didn't do it. Brian Dawkins ended up getting replaced by LeSean McCoy, and the era was officially over, and they didn't get it. But you could see how much it meant to Dawkins that the Eagles did finish the job, and he even said that during the ring ceremony, that you guys finished it. And, you know, it wasn't just for them, the 2017 roster, but it was for all the guys before, the Dawkins of the worlds, the Donovan McNabbs, the Reggie Whites, you know, the Randall Cunninghams, the Ron Jaworskis, and Dick Vermeils, those guys. They did it for them, so it was awesome that he got a ring this year, and he got to be with the organization to win the Super Bowl. So, again, I really do wish I was old enough to really, truly witness him, because he, seeing some of the hits, the Algy Crumpler famous hit in the NFC Championship game, he was a crazy, crazy player, and it was someone that I would have loved watching, someone I would have fully embraced. You know, obviously, I did not watch him, but again, I wish I would have saw him, you know, his first 6-7 years where he was just a dominant, elite NFL player. He also spoke today in his speech about mental health. You know, a lot of people were talking about it throughout the week before his enshrinement, about how he dealt with depression and he dealt with mental health issues early on in his NFL career, his rookie year. Almost, you know, he was talking about taking his own life. You know, specifically, he was on the verge of doing that, and that's the fact that he got from that point to where he is now just speaks amazing things about what you can do, just not giving up. And with Dawkins, the fight and the passion that he showed today in his speech about that issue is inspiring, and it's a serious topic of discussion that I think the awareness is growing about. And I think Dawkins today, using his platform not only to, you know, talk about his career and his struggles, but then he turned around you know, talking about his struggles, and basically is trying to motivate other people, saying, you know, it's, if you're dealing with the same issues I did, it's not over. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And I want to play that part of the speech because it's something that's truly amazing that I think everyone that's listening should listen to. So let's play that now. Brian Dawkins talking about his struggles in the past from the start of his NFL career on mental health issues and about people now that are going through some of the same struggles.
You've been listening all, and you probably read all this week. I suffer from depression. I went through it mightily my rookie year. I suffered through suicidal thoughts. And I wasn't just suffering through suicidal thoughts. I was actually planning the way that I would kill myself so my wife would get the money. Not yet, not yet. But what that pain did for me, it increased my faith exponentially. I have grown leaps and bounds because of the things that I've gone through, and that's one of those things that I went through. And when I say went through, that means I came on the other side of it. So for those who are going through right now, there's hope. You do have hope. There is something on the other side of this. Don't get caught up where you are. Don't stay where you are. Keep moving. Keep pushing through.
Just an amazing part of the speech that really hit home with me. It's just awesome that, again, he used that platform and just passionately spoke to people out there that are struggling. And he's an inspiring role model for anyone that has grown up watching him and that watched today and that is going through the same things he went through. So hats off to Brian Dawkins. Congratulations on making the Hall of Fame in 2018, the most beloved Philadelphia Eagle of all time. Jersey retired. He will forever go up as a great, not only in Eagles history, but in football history. Before we get into the Hall of Fame game helmet fiasco between the Ravens and the Bears, I want to talk to you guys today about Vivid Seats. The season is here. It has finally arrived. We got Eagles preseason Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Link. Don't sit around this season watching the Philadelphia Eagles from home when you can be at Lincoln Financial Field in the crowd cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats as the Philadelphia Eagles try to defend their 2017 Super Bowl championship. You don't want to be there against the Atlanta Falcons week one when the Eagles are raising the banner? That's going to be something historic that you can forever tell your kids that you were at the moment the Eagles raised the banner for their first ever championship and then took down the Dirty Birds on national TV. I'm going to be there. I think that's going to be something that you're going to want to see. And thanks to Vivid Seats, you can do it. Vivid Seats is offering Lockdown Eagles listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code LOCKEDON. That's just one word. That's LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON. New customers only, and the offer is good through the end of August. So whether you want to go to a preseason game or regular season game, tickets are available now, and the Philadelphia Eagles kick off their home schedule that Thursday in September against the Atlanta Falcons, defending their Super Bowl championship, the first game of the NFL season, and you can be there at the Lincoln Financial Field to celebrate with the Eagles as they take on the Falcons after winning the Super Bowl championship in 2017. So it's going to be a historic moment. Maybe you don't want to go to the Falcons game, but down the road, hey, the revenge of the Minnesota Vikings are coming back to the stadium trying to pretty much avenge the embarrassment they suffered at the hands of the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. So you can get that all through Vivid Seats, and it's 10% off your first ticket order. You know, tickets are expensive, and if Vivid Seats is offering you 10%, you're going to want to jump on this. Again, promo code is LOCKEDON. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. All right, so right now on the Lockdown Eagles podcast, we got to get into that helmet rule, the situation that we were dealing with for the first game of the NFL season. You know, last year we finally resolved the catch rule, something that has been tormenting us NFL fans and the league since that Calvin Johnson catch against the Chicago Bears week one of, what was it, the 2011 season? It's basically been 7 years of not knowing what in the hell a catch is. play after play, the Jesse James play, the Corey Clement play in the Super Bowl. What is a catch? What is a catch? It was the slogan of the past decade, really, of the NFL, is no one understood it. And we finally, I think, have built a strong rule and a strong understanding of what exactly a catch is in the NFL. And it's pretty clear now that it's fair. I love the rule right now. I think for the catch rule, I think they definitely fixed it. And it's not something that Eagles fans or NFL fans are going to have to worry about in the future. So we finally got through that, where a rule was significantly affecting the entertainment and the quality of the sport. And now we have this helmet rule. I understand, look, I like that the NFL is trying to make rules, trying to make the game safer. I think that is something that has to happen, because the game of football is a very dangerous sport, and it's one that if you can try to make it as safe as possible, I'm all for it. But it can't be at the expense of how the game is played. It can't be at the expense of the actual sport. Unless, you know, you can't make drastic rules that change the way the game is played and change the entirety of the sport. You know, the foundations of what it means to be in a football game. You know, how to play the sport correctly. If you start changing things drastically and it starts becoming flag football, I'm sorry, I don't want any part of it. But at the same time, I do want increased player safety. But that, of course, too, a part of that's going to come with awareness. You know, not trying to hide the fact that football is a dangerous sport. I think that's the road we need to take more, is creating awareness that, yes, this is a dangerous sport. And if there are rules and technological advances and equipment that they can use to reduce the number of concussions, to make the game safer, that's what I'm all for. But the rule right now of not being able to lower your helmet is something I truly don't understand. You looked at the Ravens-Bears game the other day, and two of the three calls, the one was clear. I think when the Ravens corner was bringing down the Bears wide receiver, and he clearly was about to get him down, Ravens defenders were crashing in on the wideout, and then one of the Ravens safeties lowers their head and just hits him with their head down on the ground, and didn't even really attempt to wrap him up. That's unnecessary contact. That's something you got to take out of the game, and it's part of what I like about the new rule, is getting rid of that unnecessary aggressive contact, when instead you can just wrap him up and take him to the ground with other defenders on your team. That's part of the rule that I like. What I don't like is them throwing flags on safeties, crashing down on a wide receiver running a slant route, and they're diving to the ground, and the only way to take him down is by not only lowering your shoulders and your arms to try to wrap them up, but when you're doing that, a fundamental tackle, your head still follows your shoulders with it. You can't physically lower your shoulders, apply contact, and keep your head up the entire time without having part of your helmet hit the other guy's helmet. If you saw the highlights of the two penalties, of the three that I thought were wrong calls, you could see that they were fundamental tackles that any football player, any safety, has to make, unless you're just going to let them catch the football and let them run past you and try to wrap them up by the legs afterwards. You basically almost have to eliminate the safety position if some of the tackles they were making in the Hall of Fame game were penalties. Hopefully they were just going to the extreme to try to set a precedent that this is going to be a rule they're enforcing during the regular season. And I know it's open for interpretation per referee team per game, but I just hope it's not like the catch rule where late in a game there's just an awful call that ends up costing a team a win, and that could cost them, you know, a playoff spot because of this rule. I think so far it's not off to a great start, and it's one that they need to get a better understanding of. And if they call some of those weak calls that they had the other day in that game, I'm very concerned for not just this season, which is going to be chaotic as hell and irritating, because we just got done with the catch rule, and now we're going to have another rule we're consistently debating week after week. It's tiresome. So not only that, but I'm worried about the actual sport, because if this is a rule that they enforce the way they did in that first game, which I really hope they don't, and they stick to that, and that's the way the game is played now, there's going to be a massive change to the quality of the sport and how it's played. And that's going to lose a lot of fans. It's going to lose a lot of viewers. Football is, there's only so much you can do with the sport. You know, I want to make it safer, but you can't change the entire sport. It is a violent sport. It is a contact sport. It's fast. And if you're going to have guys now, safeties crashing down, have to start thinking before they make plays, that's actually probably going to lead to more injuries. It's a very dangerous game that we're talking about here. It's a very dangerous topic that now these players have to have in their head, because what they were taught their entire life on how to tackle now, based on the flags that were thrown in the Hall of Fame game, is almost not the way to do it. It's a very difficult thing that I'm not looking forward to throughout the year. And I'll tell you, what Dawkins used to do in the NFL, he wouldn't make it in the NFL now. That kind of stuff wouldn't slide. It's basically the catch rule all over again. I really hope it was the first game and they're trying to set a precedent, because two of those three penalties that were thrown on the helmet rule were just simply not penalties. And, you know, when a tight end that's, what, got 4 inches on you goes up for a pass outside and you don't have the ability to tip it, you're going up and you're wrapping them up and it looks like you're leading with your head, but it's not the case. And it's a struggle right now. It's a struggle for the NFL. They got to get this right. I really hope that they listen to the players. And one of the plays that they pointed to was the Malcolm Jenkins hit on Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl, actually, as a play that might end up being a penalty. And if you look at the hit itself, I don't know how Malcolm Jenkins hits Brandon Cooks there. How else does he hit him without his helmet coming in some sort of contact with him? And Jenkins even said he'll make that play 10 times out of 10, and if he gets a penalty, so be it. So the players clearly don't like it. They didn't like the presentation that they were getting at the NovaCare Complex from an Eagles perspective. They were confused by the rule. They didn't agree with some of the examples they shown of how to go about hitting now. And this could be messy. It's just another problem that the NFL and the players are getting into. And with the CBA expiring in a couple years, I'm just saying, football fans, prepare. There might not be football played in a couple years. There is a lot of things to fix. And hopefully, though, again, refs are open to interpret this rule based on what they see on the field. They get to make the call. You know, they know the rule, and then based on what they see, they're going to decide whether to throw the flag or not, and I really hope it's a more conservative approach. The first one, I was very happy that they called it. I think a lot of those plays, you know, where they're just coming in like a rocket, just not even attempting to use their hands and just trying to destroy the man, another alternative, you can just wrap them up and take them down, that's going to prevent concussions. You know, just having that awareness, that's a great part of the rule that I really like, and it's a good foundation to apply to the league's future. But the other two calls were dreadful, and I really hope the NFL gets this rule right, or else we might be in for a very chaotic and distracting 2018 NFL season. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for listening. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at DiBiase, LOE, and check us out on LockedOnEagles.com. You can always subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to us on TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher. You know, basically anywhere you can find podcasts, we are up and available on there. So again, for myself, Lou DiBiase, I thank you for listening to the show. Congratulations once again to Brian Dawkins, an Eagles legend, one of the best safeties in NFL history, one of the best defensive players in NFL history, for being enshrined in the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2018, and we loved to celebrate with him this weekend. Make sure you tune in tomorrow as we continue our coverage. Eagles preseason officially starts Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So excited to get that underway as the Eagles try to defend their 2017 Super Bowl championship. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, and let's go Birds.